AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Considerable delays for those flying into or out of the Hollywood Burbank Airport without air traffic controllers. California Governor Gavin Newsom on social media blames the government shutdown. KNX's Pete Demetriou.
My flight's delayed like 4 hours now.
You're wondering whether you're going to be able to take off at all.
I think so. It's probably not going to happen then.
People like Ron are hoping staffing of the control tower will happen. Otherwise, they're going to have to book a hotel or, if possible, rent cars and drive. Pete Demetriou for CBS News, Burbank, California.
President Trump is getting ready to get tough in deploying federal troops to cities.
The Insurrection Act allows a president to deploy federal troops to suppress a violent rebellion.
I'd do it if it was necessary. So far, it hasn't been necessary.
But President Trump says he is considering it.
If people were being killed and courts were holding us up.
The drastic steps come after several cities have taken legal action, trying to block the administration from sending in the National Guard. Stacey Lynn, CBS News. The White House.
Last night, a federal judge temporarily blocked the Trump administration from sending the California National Guard to Oregon. A judge has declined a similar order at the request of Illinois as National Guard troops from Texas head to Chicago. Another hearing for that is set for Thursday. The CDC adopting a vaccine panel's recommendation on COVID vaccinations. WSB's Sabrina Cupid.
The COVID-19 vaccination recommendations have been downgraded. It's no longer recommended that everybody get the shot. It's now based on what's called shared clinical decision-making, meaning you are urged to talk to your doctor or pharmacist before getting it. And when it comes to the question of insurance, private health plans and federal entitlement programs have to cover vaccines recommended with shared clinical decision-making.
High-level meetings over President Trump's proposal to bring an end to the war between Israel and Hamas take place in Egypt, ahead of the two-year mark for Hamas's terror attacks in Israel. CBS's Deborah Patta is at the Near Oz kibbutz.
There are many sticking points that could upend the deal. Hamas has made no mention of disarmament, a key Israeli demand, and many Israelis believe the danger lies within Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's ruling coalition, where his right-wing allies have threatened to collapse his government if Hamas is not destroyed.
Ex-NFL quarterback Mark Sanchez faces a felony battery charge in a fight that authorities say was over an Indianapolis parking spot. The other driver says he feared for his life and pulled a knife to defend himself. Sanchez is being treated for a stab wound to the chest. This is CBS News.
Brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Not only does Progressive let you bundle your insurance, they also give you round-the-clock protection. Quote today at progressive.com.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
The playoffs continue in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports at American Family Field, where the Brewers host the Cubs. Tonight in Game 2 of their best-of-five series, the Brewers winning Game 1 on Saturday 9-3. Lefty Aaron Ashby named the opener for the crew tonight. NFL, the Packers back at work after a bye. They'll host Cincinnati on Sunday. College football, the Badgers losing at Michigan 24-10. Luke Fickell.
Well, we're not here to sugarcoat anything. Obviously, there obviously is always some good, but our ability to sustain and finish is where, you know, we still are not close to where we need to be.
Wisconsin has now lost three in a row. NBA, the Bucks in Miami tonight against the Heat. Giannis recovering from COVID. When will he be ready to play?
He said we're going to need a good 3 days. He told me two, but after watching them, I think it's three for sure.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports on Mike Clemens.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low within a few degrees of 40. Sunshine for tomorrow, highs in the mid-60s. And highs in the low 60s with sun on Wednesday. Slight chance for showers on Thursday. Highs staying in the 60s. Right now it's 53.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Homeless veterans are facing a crisis in Chippewa Falls, and Brittany Carlone from Wisconsin Watch will be here to tell us a solution on the horizon and the Brewers results and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It's Monday, so Shally Pittman, Civic Media News Director, will be here after the 9:30 news. Going to be talking about some of the things that happened over the weekend and that are happening in Wisconsin. Particularly, we're going to talk today about ice in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And some of the reactions to that and some of the things that have happened here. Again, that you may have missed because there is so much going on in the world. Shally Pittman will be here after the 9:30 news. In hour number two, we're going to talk to journalist Jackie Lydon and also author Kathy Giorgio. They were both on many months ago.
Yeah.
We were talking about book bans. Mm-hmm. And Kathy Giorgio is a graduate of Waukesha High School.
North. Yep.
And she was on their alumni star of fame.
She's on their like wall of stars.
Wall of stars. Because of a book that she wrote. And then they banned her book.
Yep.
So there is an event on Wednesday night in Waukesha about book bans. Wisconsin, tragically, according to an article that I have from them, is the second the state with the second highest number of banned books.
And I think if you asked a lot of people and you said, name the top five, and if they named five, I bet you they would all go Southern. They would not put Wisconsin in
up there. Yeah.
Wisconsin, I would say this, Wisconsinites wouldn't, because I don't think Wisconsinites know.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why we're going to highlight that coming up in hour number two. Also then in the second hour of the show, as we always do for the last half an hour, we talk a little audio sorbet is what we call it, where we lighten things up.
Oh, I need it today.
Get away from the news and just take a breath. And we were talking off the air. We have a whole bunch of people here now.
There's a lot of people here.
There's a lot of folks in this building now. I'm
feeling my old man, like, get off my lawn.
Exactly.
The rock and roll music's too loud.
So we were just talking about alarms and how do you wake up in the morning? And not everyone uses an alarm. Some people live by an alarm. Snooze alarm. I lived by the snooze alarm. I would hit that thing at least three times.
Your history with the alarm clock with regard to this industry, waking up at ungodly hours, I don't... Like right now, if I sleep until 7 o'clock, I'm like, well, that wasn't bad, but having to get up at like 2:30, that's not fair.
But I dated a guy, this is obviously years before I got married, but I dated someone who never set an alarm.
Yeah.
He said, I just, before I go to sleep at night, I think about the time I have to wake up. I know. And I do. And I'm like, I would be late forever, or I would never sleep.
Yeah.
If I didn't have an alarm clock, I would not trust myself to wake up on time. So we're going to talk about how do you alarm today for audio sorbet. If you can't stick around until the end of the show, you can always text us now.
Yeah, please do
at 855-752-4842. And we will wrap up the show, as we always do, with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it is the Can You Dig It edition. Stay tuned for that. It's a good
one. Last week it was Sakatumi. This week is Can You Dig It?
We're kind of going back to the 60s. little bit. So that's coming up at the very end of the show. By the way, thanks to everyone who took part in our multi-state text to win go for the green and gold contest. Mm-hmm. It was so much fun. Among some of our daily winners, we had Dave in Kenosha, who was listening on WRJN, Ruth from Chetek, listening to WCFW, and Angie from Hammond, who was listening to WCSM. We are in the process of contacting the grand prize winner. We need to talk to them and get a couple things straight, and then we can tell you who the big winner was with that grand prize. But again, thank you to everyone who took part. It was lovely seeing all the different cities where you live and where our listeners are. And we learn stuff all the time.
Absolutely. We found out about, once again, all these wonderful little towns and villages and hamlets. I don't know if they're actually hamlets. I just like saying that.
We're going to call them there hamlets. That's what we're going to do. Yeah. But if you do not have the Civic Media app yet, and that's the only way to enter our text to win contest, do it now.
Yeah.
It is completely free.
Yeah.
And we will be having more of these text to win contests. So just go to wherever you get your apps, look for Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media, and then download the Civic Media app. You'll be ready to go for the next contest. You can also listen to all of our stations across the network. We have a whole bunch of music stations if you want to check out music.
Yeah.
So, and you can take us with you wherever you are.
Sounds like a plan to me.
Absolutely. So that's that, I guess. I wanted to start off with this. Of course, we're in day six now of the government shutdown.
Yeah.
Glenn Grothman.
Who?
Wisconsin's own farm breakfast fan.
Ah, the pancake breakfast cake. He was pancake pocketing before Pat Murphy ever was.
Long before it was cool.
But he was like, is that guy stealing pancakes?
This is from the Wisconsin Public Radio. The headline reads, Wisconsin GOP Representative Glenn Grothman lay off 100,000 to 200,000 federal workers. The Eastern Wisconsin representative says regardless of the government shutdown, the federal workforce is too large.
Yeah. Of course.
Glenn says, regardless of the shutdown, the federal workforce should be cut to reduce spending. Quote, a lot of these people are not working very hard at all. To keep hiring people, many with over six-figure salaries, when they aren't working that hard, that's just irresponsible. Unquote.
Yeah.
What's does Glenn Grothman make?
$174,000 a year plus his per diem plus health insurance. He makes a nice amount of money.
It's like a pretty good living.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
we pay for it.
And then, because he's off right now, right? Because Mike Johnson sent all the House members home.
Oh, yeah, they're shut down. They're off. They're making sure they can't do things like get the government open. They make sure they can't, like, release the Epstein files. They're just getting a nice relax. It'll probably be done for the rest of the year, honestly. But think about it. It's October. Why even go back at this point?
Well, and the Republicans refuse to negotiate. And have through this whole process.
Mm-hmm.
Just an important reminder there. Yes, Glenn says, quote, well, we have too many people working in the government right now. Let's say in the Department of Defense itself, we have over 700,000 employees who are not uniformed, people sitting in cubicles on a computer. There is a lot of anecdotal evidence out there that these people aren't working that hard. So I think whether or not there's a shutdown is irrelevant. We should not be hiring people who are unnecessary.
Anecdotal evidence, which is just a fancy way of saying I've heard from people.
I looked it up. Many people are saying that these people aren't working hard.
Mm-hmm.
There has been no statistical study looking at this.
No.
It's just some guy who works in this department called me and complained and said the person sitting next to them at their desk isn't working hard.
I mean, as far as I know, from what I've seen as far as pictures go and lack of stories and lack of legislation, Glenn Grothman isn't working that hard, if you ask me. Why don't we fire him? Because if we fire him, we get $174,000 back. We'll make sure whoever gets in after him has far less staff, so that way people in his district are far less serviced. It would just make it easier. Why don't we get rid of some of these non-working congressmen and senators? If they're not working, they're government employees.
They are government employees, and they're our employees.
They are our employees. And Jane, like, what I see from his social media presence, he's not doing a lot either. So I have anecdotal evidence via social media that Glenn Grothman isn't doing his job. Therefore, I think he should be fired as well. See how that logic works, Glenn. Just because someone tells you something or you feel it, it's inherent, it's in your gut.
Mike Johnson.
Well, you know, my gut also told me to eat ice cream last night at 5:30, and now I'm paying the price. Your gut's not always right. People sometimes lie.
855-752-4842, Wisconsin's own Republican Representative Glenn Grothman says, yep, good, fire a whole bunch of people from the federal government. People are telling me they're not working very hard. 855-752-4842. Join us like Mike from Oshkosh, texting in, listening on WISS. What has Glenn done for our district since he's been a congressman?
Yeah.
How hard is he working for us? I would love to know any legislation that Glenn has penned that has actually gotten anywhere and brought something home to his constituency.
I would like to know if there's any major legislation that he has authored, been the lead author, led through the process, not just thrown his name on as well. It's really just, they get to just say these things now and people just agree with them because they've always thought that the federal government was too bloated. They always thought people in the federal government were lazy.
But it's them who are lazy.
Yeah.
It's that, not me. And not my department and not my staffers. Mm-mm. It's that person isn't doing it.
Yeah.
And Calvin, you make a really good, interesting point that he signaled on or focused on the Department of Defense, which nobody touches.
No.
The Department of Defense hasn't been able to pass an audit in decades.
Yeah.
And yet we still keep writing them blank checks.
Yep.
And nobody blinks an eye on either side.
Well, no, because post 9/11 to not even criticize, but even say like, well, let's look at the Department of Defense's budget and what they know. Do you not want freedom wrapped in safety, wrapped in freedom, wrapped in more freedom? I mean, it was always just you do not even question what the DOD gets
ever.
And now he's saying this.
Yeah, that was kind of a surprise.
I thought they were against defunding the police. Yeah,
I know.
So
I really did not expect him to zero in on the Department of Defense.
But at the other side of the argument is that Glenn Grothman isn't smart. I'm sorry. He's just, if you've ever listened to him speak, he doesn't know anything on the issues. Like he just said, anecdotal evidence. That's not a study. That's not backed up with any sort of research. It's just you hearing stuff from people down the hallway. And if you look at the picture on the article that I've put in the show notes, it's a perfect picture of Glenn Grothman. It does not show a man who really is concerned about his district. He just loves the free pancakes.
855-752-4842. Richard from Waukesha. We don't have a whole lot of time, Richard, but thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
This is a scheme, you know, you complain about everybody else while you're doing nothing, and then you stop everything.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, it's a stonewall.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you, Richard. Appreciate it. Thank you for listening.
Tim on the live stream says that Glenn Grothman has authored five pieces of legislation, four of which were to name post offices in the district. He is absolutely useless. All of his Facebook posts are at free food events. And it's true.
If you want to contact Glenn, how would I do that?
You're going to go to myvote.wi.gov. You're going to go and put your information in there. I would say you can go to myvote.wi.gov, but what you can do also is just type in, like I'm doing right now, into the Google machines, Glenn Grothman office phone number, and it's going to come up because that number is for us, the people, because we are the ones who actually employ him. 920-907-0624. Call him and let him know what you feel about cutting hundreds of thousands of jobs. Well,
and what a great job he's been doing for that $174,000 a year. When we return, Smiley Kevin Hassett has news for our farmers. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
At Boot Barn, we know you need a reliable work boot. A boot that has withstood the test of time. When you feed, build, and fuel the nation, you can't take chances. Because you wake before the sun rises and end the day after it sets. Dating back to 1892, Thorogood takes pride in building high-quality work boots designed for hard-working people. Because reliability comes first. Thorogood at Boot Barn Work.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanopi, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calvi on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. One game down.
Yep.
Couple more to go.
Not going to worry about any of those other ones, right?
I'm glad. We have baseball tonight. Game two, NLDS Cubs at the Brewers. Our broadcast starts at 7:30. You cannot listen on the stream. You have to listen on terrestrial radio. Mm-hmm. Catch it on WRCE in Richland Center, on WCQM in Park Falls, on WBZH in Hayward, and here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN. Brewers hosting the Cubbies. Our broadcast starts tonight at 7:30. Pitch goes out, I think, about 8 o'clock. It's going to be a late game, folks.
Yeah, and it's in Milwaukee, too. Like, you'd think that it would be, like, maybe an hour earlier, but it's...
Yeah, it's going to be late. And expect traffic, too, especially if you're coming up on 94. 94 is going to be busy. Just keep that in mind and go, crew. Right before the break, we were talking about Wisconsin's own Republican Representative Glenn Grothman checking in on how, yeah, we should fire 100,000, 200,000 federal workers because people are telling me they don't work very hard. And just one more comment, a couple more comments I wanted to get in from listeners on the live stream. Debbie says, the irony of having an all-demanded military meeting spending millions of dollars to insult our highest ranks. That was last week when Pete Hegseth called of all our generals. Yeah. So we could tell them they were ugly and fat.
No fatties, no bearded guys.
Okay, good to know.
Thanks, Cousin Debbie.
And Tim Jacobson says he didn't care about union workers at Oshkosh when the postal truck contract got moved to South Carolina. Yeah, Glenn doesn't... How much does Glenn work on behalf of Wisconsinites? Doesn't... And I'd love to show me the evidence.
I mean, if you want to count it in going to pancake breakfast and things like that.
I don't know that that counts. Brief, while we have time, before we get to the bottom of the hour news, I wanted to talk a little bit more about tariffs. Mm-hmm. Darren Von Ruden is going to be joining us this week.
Correct. Wednesday.
Wednesday. We had a little snafu last week. But this is not going away, this issue with our soybean farmers that Donald Trump reiterated last week. He's going to use our tariff money. We found $15 trillion, he said.
We found $31 billion, but there are, and it's on the tariff shelf.
It's on the shelf.
I cannot get over the tariff shelf part of that.
Yeah.
$31 billion found, just found, because, you know, when you find $5 in your pocket, trillions of dollars in tariffs being brought in. So we're flush with cash, everybody.
Apparently.
Do you need a farm loan? Do you need some money, farmers? We got you covered.
Except there's no one to answer the phone because the government shut down. American Soybean Association President Caleb Ragland says a bailout is not the golden ticket that Trump has made it out to be. He said American farmers still need markets to sell their products, but never fear. Smiling Kevin Hassett is here.
He's so creepy.
From the Trump administration. No matter what he's talking about, he's always got a smile on his face.
Yeah.
Here he is talking to MSNBC's Money Guy about the tariffs. Kelvin, can you play that clip, please?
Could you see tariff money being used to support the farmers who obviously are being hit hard by, I think, you know, China retaliated against some of the tariffs recently? Maybe they had slowed buying soybeans last year, but certainly they went to zero in May based on the tariffs.
Right.
Is that an option that it's going to happen?
Right. The president has already said that he thinks that the tariff money is going to be useful for helping us find the funds that we need to help farmers. We've had numerous meetings over the last week or two about exactly what we're going to do to help the farmers, but we're taking big measures, and those big measures are going to be public really, really soon.
Really soon.
And so for sure, China has, especially for soybean farmers, has stopped buying U.S. soybeans.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the silos are full, and there are soybeans sitting on the ground with tarps over them.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable to the president. We're calling up all our soybean customers around the world as part of our trade negotiations, and we're also getting ready to have really strong policies to support our farmers.
Really strong policies. Really soon, probably 2 weeks.
First of all, is the person who did that interview, are they okay?
The guy on MSNBC?
Yes, because it was just like, I felt like it was a kid asking an adult a question. It was like, it was weird, but also, no, sorry, I don't buy this. I don't buy that the president for one single solitary second cares that the soybean market has collapsed in this country. I don't think he cares that they are in, he thinks throw some money at them and that'll shut them up, because that's what happened last time.
Yes, it is. And whether or not it's going to work this time around, and again, let's not forget, it is because of the Trump tariff policies that our soybean market has collapsed.
Yes.
And so he is going to take the money that we're all paying in tariffs on higher goods, because we're all seeing it now when you go to the store.
Yeah.
Things are more expensive. So we're going to take the money that American taxpayers and American farmers are paying to pay back the farmers that we screwed by these tariff policies. Yet at the same time, we're giving $20 billion to Argentina, who dropped their tariffs to sell their soybeans to China.
And we all went through this before when we had, this is because, don't forget, this is the second tariff war, second trade war we've had. And the U.S. farmers suffered under the first one as well, because other countries took their business elsewhere.
And didn't come back.
So I do not believe for a solitary second that the president actually cares that anything has happened. He's just like, if we give him some money, it'll shut him up, right?
Well, and where is the pre-planning about having a plan in place before you blew everything up? That might have been a good idea, too.
Pre-planning?
Well, again, it's consequences. If I do A, B might happen, and C might happen, and D might... Yeah, they don't do that.
Pre-planning? You're hilarious. You'd be fired immediately.
News is coming up next, and then Civic Media News Director Shally Pittman will be joining us. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
CBS News Brief. California's governor blames the U.S. government shutdown for the lack of air traffic controllers at Burbank's airport. CBS's Sarah Ploss.
Some controllers called out, resulting in this ATC zero situation where they are now having to figure out different ways to keep traffic moving in the Burbank area.
The government shutdown rolls into a second week after the latest funding bills fail in the Senate. CBS's Nancy Cordes reports.
Essentially, it doesn't sound like we're anywhere different from where we were before the weekend, basically in a stalemate.
President Trump says he may invoke the Insurrection Act as he deploys troops to Democrat-run cities as part of his crime crackdown. Illinois and Chicago are too trying to get a temporary restraining order, but Texas National Guard troops are already on the way. Governor J.B. Pritzker.
Trump and the thuggery that his agents have brought has actively made us less safe.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The playoffs continue in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports at American Family Field, where the Brewers host the Cubs. Tonight in Game 2 of their best-of-five series, the Brewers winning Game 1 on Saturday 9-3, lefty Aaron Ashby named the opener for the crew tonight. NFL, the Packers back at work after a bye. They'll host Cincinnati on Sunday. College football, the Badgers losing at Michigan 24-10. Luke Fickell.
Well, we're not here to sugarcoat anything. Obviously, there obviously is always some good, but our ability to sustain and finish is where, you know, we still are not close to where we need to be.
Wisconsin has now lost three in a row. NBA, the Bucks in Miami tonight against the Heat. Giannis recovering from COVID. When will he be ready to play?
He said we're going to need a good 3 days. He told me two, but after watching him, I think it's three for sure.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Even though she said no to performing at the Super Bowl halftime show, Taylor Swift is on top again as her new album, The Life of a Showgirl, dropped on October 3rd and went right to number one. If that weren't enough, Swift also has the number one movie in America with her 89-minute video celebrating the release of her new album called Taylor Swift, The Official Release Party of a Showgirl. Saturday Night Live season 51 kicked off this past weekend and pulled no punches in going after the president after Trump's stunt last week in front of over 800 military higher-ups, which included a lecture about facial hair and maintaining a reasonable weight. During the skit, James Austin Johnson, who played Donald Trump, told those in the sketch not to go too far or they would face consequences. They went pretty far. It's worth a Google. When Entertainment Weekly asked the White House for a statement, spokeswoman Abigail Jackson said she had more entertaining things to do, like watching paint dry. Or maybe something even less exciting, like a president's speech to military generals. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low within a few degrees of 40. Sunshine for tomorrow, highs in the mid-60s, and highs in the low 60s with sun on Wednesday. Slight chance for showers on Thursday, highs staying in the 60s. Right now it's 53.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Smoke. Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, we'll get an update on the shutdown showdown, a live report from Capitol Hill with Cam Stevenson, Washington reporter for Courier Newsroom.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane, Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. About an hour from now is the part of the show we call Audio Sorbet, where we lighten things up, take a breath, get away from the news. Essentially, we
clean your ears with fun.
Yes, that's what we do in Audio Sorbet. And today's question for Audio Sorbet is, how do you alarm? Do you have an alarm clock? Do you have, is it on your Apple Watch? Maybe you don't need an alarm.
Or maybe it's a different brand name of watch. We're all not bought out by big Apple Watch like Jane is.
Well, I don't have an Apple Watch. But anyway, how do you alarm is our Audio Sorbet question. So start thinking about that. You can also text in your response right now if you're not going to be around at 855-752-4842. She joins us every Monday to update us on the constant fire hose of news that is happening. She is Civic Media's news director. Shali Pittman is here. Good morning, lady. How are you?
I'm okay. Thanks, Jane. You know, I, working in radio, sometimes set multiple alarms on different sources just to make sure that I get up at the right time.
Do you?
Do you ever do that?
I used to very early on when I was working early mornings. I had an alarm right next to my bed, and then I had one across the room.
That, you have to get up.
But yeah, and then I would get up and I would turn it off and I would go back to bed. That did not work. I did. It was a flawed plan.
The most powerful thing that will get you up is fear, I think. So
waking up and seeing, oh yeah.
I want that put on a plaque somewhere. The most powerful thing to get you up is fear. Shali Pittman.
That's I'm going to put that on a pillow. I think that's something to live by. Yes, absolutely.
All right.
Anyway, there is a lot to catch up on, and we wanted to start off with ICE in Wisconsin. 7 people in northeastern Madison were arrested by ICE on Thursday. No confirmed reports of ICE activity anywhere else in the city so far.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of ICE activity in the last week and a half, 2 weeks, so thought we'd spend our segment this morning talking about that. Here where I'm based in Madison, there were 7 folks detained, arrested by ICE last Thursday. This was first confirmed by Centro Hispano Dane County, and you're seeing advocacy groups being the kind of the first line of folks reporting when there are detentions, because ICE does not usually talk with local police officials, law enforcement officials. ICE confirmed with the City of Madison Police Department after the fact that they had conducted a raid. I don't believe they gave details like names. But, you know, they only are able to confirm after the fact. So I have heard that the individuals detained were, at least some were construction workers. But I learned that through something we'll talk about in a second at a press conference. But that's not confirmed or verified either.
And I'm assuming that we don't know anything about what these people are accused of, or charged with, or no details whatsoever?
Not to my knowledge. ICE will, or the Department of Homeland Security will put out press releases sometimes, and I don't see one related to this, I think, raid. I'm not sure if people want us to call it a raid, but this enforcement action. So, yeah, we kind of don't have a lot of details right now.
When I saw the form come through, Shali, when you sent it to us, I feel like this didn't hit. I feel like news of ICE and cities doing these things are major news. Like, they're happening around the country. Mm-hmm. I feel like this almost, for me, and this is just me, and I don't, maybe not other people, of course, it almost flew under the radar as far as reporting goes, because we have so many bigger actions, as you say, taking place around the country, that this sort of just happened, and now we're hearing about it now, and we're getting the details, And it's in that part of the state as well. The fact that it's in Madison, that's also, to me personally surprising.
It's hard to report these things out because it takes time to track folks down and connect with families. And so I think that's part of reason why you're not saying a lot is because it's hard to get the information. But there is a larger, there was a larger operation of ICE in Wisconsin about a week and a half ago on September 25th. And I think that's where a lot of the attention has been focused. So this was a raid of mostly dairy workers in Manitowoc, where there is a high concentration of factory farms. And if I can give credit to the Wisconsin Examiner, I think they've done a really good job of outlining what this means for farmers, right? Dairy farmers and, you know, speaking with farmers who say, hey, you know, we can't get anyone of anyone else to do these jobs. And so it has implications for Wisconsin's dairy industry, as well as obviously the human cost for immigrant communities. So in the Manitowoc parking lot where folks were getting ready to go to work for the day, so far what I've been able to triangulate from other news sources is that at least one man has been deported within 4 days of that action, and it could be higher, according to advocate organizations. It could be three, which we'll again talk about in a second. The Department of Homeland Security did put out a kind of press release for this, and they mentioned that they mentioned one man who is a part of the raid, except that man has been in ICE custody since July, according to court records.
Okay, so I'm going to stop you right there. One of the men they claimed they grabbed during this most recent raid in September has already been in custody, and he's been in custody since July.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So their record keeping, obviously, is really good.
You know, I don't know what's going on. He has not been convicted, but he's been detained. One other thing I wanted to note about this, there's been a lot of good reporting about these raids, but the detention hearings that result quickly after, sometimes after these raids, are not likely to be paused under the federal shutdown that we're in right now, even though in previous shutdowns they have been. So kind of forecasting that it's not likely that these will stop, even though the rest of the federal government is shut down.
That's interesting. Do they have to do a special carve out for that? How does that work?
You know, I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
Also a great question, Jay.
Well, and this is just, first of all, if you're just joining us, we are speaking with Sholly Pittman, who is the news director of Civic Media. She joins us every Monday at this time to go over all the news that we may have missed over the weekend. And she is, now we're talking about remind me again, Sholly, what is the official term? Not a raid, but a...
Immigration enforcement.
Yeah. Thank you. I honestly, when we're talking to you, I want to keep the language professional in that sense and resist the urge to get angry. But I personally, and this is just my assumption, that of course ICE raids would not stop with their budget increases, with their desire to do these things, especially with the shutdown happening. They are going to keep doing them because why not? That's just me making a speculation, but yeah, it doesn't surprise me that they haven't stopped during a shutdown.
Well, no, but what she's talking about is that the hearings to deport people, those will continue as well, though, again, the vast majority of the federal government has been shut down, except for this little part.
Yeah.
Wisconsin Watch has some reporting and that's where I'm getting this piece of information from, that the DOJ has not called off these hearings. They also haven't really clarified whether immigration court will continue if it's a longer shutdown. But they're sourcing this based off of a press release, I think from last Wednesday, from DHS, where the Assistant Secretary, Tricia McLaughlin, said that deportations will continue. She says, thanks to the Trump administration's One Big Beautiful Bill. I'm not sure if that's, again, this is really vague language, so it's hard to understand exactly how they're able to continue.
Well, they're finding a way. Yeah. Yes.
Precisely. So the I wanted to bring up these two actions, right? To again, you know, we gotta talk about them. Mm-hmm. And also, last Friday there was a press conference in Milwaukee, kind of in reaction to multiple events happening in Wisconsin in you know, the last week or two. Then, so there was a coalition of Hispanic leaders who had a press conference to condemn ICE activity in Wisconsin. It was led by Forward Latino. Daryl Morin is the national president, but it also had folks from all sorts of advocacy organizations, including you know, Voces de la Frontera, MICA, Milwaukee Turners, and so on. It also had local and state elected officials. And I wanted to bring you some clips of that because our very own community manager, Jenny Brand, did me a solid and did us all a solid and went to this press conference to get audio. And so we had some of that on our very own Stuart J. Waddle's report this morning. But I wanted to kind of bring you an extended report. So because I think it's important to hear the voices of folks who are from the community, not just me. So we'll kick this off on the other side, but we could do the first one. So Jose Perez is the Milwaukee Common Council president. Mm-hmm. And he kicked off the press conference while commenting that we're in the middle of Hispanic Heritage Month. And, you know, he urged celebration and also urged immigrant communities to prepare. So let's hear that.
So at a time when we've been celebrating and lifting up our cultures of various Hispanic descent, it should come as no surprise that we find ourselves under increased attack at the federal level. ICE agents in so-called blue states all around the country are being deployed and sowing seeds of fear and desperation throughout immigrant populations. So given that we are literally under attack, I'm asking people remain diligent. Look out for your neighbor. Help your neighbor and know your own rights. If you can meet with or consult with an immigration attorney, do so. Have contingency plans, name guardians for your children, and try to be ready for the worst, as we always hope and pray for the best.
I think an emphasis on preparation, knowing your rights, and thinking ahead was kind of a key theme of the press conference.
Well, and it's just, it's interesting because I have seen footage on social media of people confronting ICE asking for warrants, and it does not always go well. And as far as consulting an immigration attorney, I certainly think that's a good idea. But mm-hmm. again, you have to have a certain amount of resources in yeah. order to do that.
And
again, precisely. I think Common Council President Perez also urged folks to, if you need to dial 911 in the city of Milwaukee, to still do that, to not hold back from dialing 911 in cases of medical emergency, just because that's something that they've also seen.
Shelley Pittman is Civic Media's news director. We're going to continue our conversation on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking
breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Our one, our only Cal Zone on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Shally Pittman is Civic Media's news director. She joins us every Monday at this time. Give us a little updates on things we might have missed. I know there's always things that I miss. Shally, we're going to talk for this segment about ICE in Milwaukee and the facility they currently have and one they would like to move to, correct?
Yeah, I would like to play a couple more clips from that press conference last Friday,
sure.
Led by Forward Latino. Very quickly, so Christine Newman Ortiz, who's well-known in and outside of immigration circles, is the head of Voces de la Frontera. And she also gave an update on the workers in Manitowoc. So I want to make sure we get to that.
Yep.
Christine Newman Ortiz from Voces de la Frontera.
That three of the six workers in Manitowoc have already been deported. And another one has been moved to the detention center outside of Wisconsin. And the important thing is it emphasizes the importance of the Know Your Rights component, because even if you have, as in the case of, you know, one of the fathers, an order of deportation, which means, you know, things are gonna, you know, they're gonna move faster for you, if you have been here for years, as these workers have been, the ones that we've connected with, that connected with us, you know, they come from mixed immigration status families, so they have a spouse that's a U.S. citizen, children that are U.S. citizens, good moral character, essential workers. And if you've been here for many years, as they have been, you can fight your deportation. But people need to know that and not be tricked or conned into signing voluntary departures, as we are witnessing as a kind of standard ICE protocol.
One thing that Voces de la Frontera has also done way back at the start of the year is establish a hotline to confirm or deny rumors of immigration enforcement activity in neighborhoods. And that hotline is 1-800-427-0123. I've used it in a news gathering capacity in order to confirm, again, because local officials are sometimes not as helpful as you might think, not because of them, but just because ICE is not communicating with them. So that's another resource. The last clip I want to play is Daryl Marin, president of Forward Latino. He talked about his kind of personal interactions in assisting those facing deportation orders. Let's go ahead and hear that.
Number one, I was literally on the phone when an immigrant who was detained, who had no criminal history, was on the phone with his significant other and was with the ICE official in detention. And that ICE representative was literally screaming at the detained immigrant, saying he needed to sign that self-deportation order. And we were very loudly instructing him not to do it, because it's his right not to, and that they had to allow him to talk to his immigration attorney. That's happening on a daily basis. The violation of constitutional rights are happening right now on a daily basis. That's just one of many examples we have.
Okay, so I'm not able to externally verify that, but the president of Forward Latino sharing his personal experience, that's Daryl Marin. So you wanted to talk about the ICE building in Milwaukee, or I wanted to talk about the
yes.
ICE building in Milwaukee, because that's another thing that is kind of in the air, but also kind of unclear. So there are ICE offices in downtown Milwaukee. They've been there for almost 25 years. It's possible, and that's where deportation meetings happen, where detainees are processed and transported to other facilities, Dodge County facility frequently, but it doesn't actually hold people. And they're hoping to move this to an office park in the way northwest corner of Milwaukee. And I was in Milwaukee over the weekend, and I just tooled around to go and look at this. I have some photos in our shared doc, which our listeners can't see, but it is in an office park. And, you know, it's the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports that this is where detainees would be processed and transported. There are plans to have like an 8-foot tall fence and a sally port, which is what you see in jails. And I just went there and can confirm that construction is underway. It looks like they kind of just dug up the parking lot to start, but it is kind of a surreal place, very much an office park, completely quiet on the weekend. You know, there's a daycare across the street. It's right off of I-41. So,
It's
happening.
I just want to reiterate that we were told, the Trump administration told America, that they were going after the worst of the worst. Rapists and criminals and murderers and the worst of the worst were the ones that they were going to target, not these very generalized sweeping up of a whole bunch of people and then denying them due process and potentially encouraging them to sign self-deportation orders that may not necessarily be applicable to them. This is all happening. There was a raid in Chicago that we're not going to talk about, Shelly, because we just don't have time. There was a raid in Chicago on a building where they used a Black Hawk helicopter and zip-tied children and put them in a van for several hours. We don't have time to get into it, but it's important that we all realize what is going on in our country.
Yep. This is happening in Wisconsin.
Yes, it is. It's happening here, too. Shelly Pittman is Civic Media's news director. Subscribe to Civic Media today.
Absolutely.
Our news department does an incredible job curating news from all around the state and highlighting things on different shows. It's fabulous. How can I subscribe to Civic Media today, Shelly Pittman?
Oh, wow. You know what? I haven't had to subscribe.
Civic Media.
CivicMediaToday.substack.com to get to subscribe to our free newsletter.
What Greg said, do that.
Thank you.
Or Google it.
You can do that too. Shelly Pittman, thank you so very much. We will see you next Monday.
Sounds Sounds good. See you then.
News coming up next. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. As federal operations involving National Guard troops move forward in Chicago, state and local leaders file a lawsuit against the Trump administration, pushing back against what they've called an invasion, occupation, and martial law. But President Trump insists...
We're going to make Chicago really great again, and we're going to stop this crime. Then we're going to go to another one, and we're going to go city by city. We're going to have safe cities.
CBS's Usher Qureshi is outside an ICE facility in West Suburban Chicago.
Illinois and Chicago argue that the federal government is overstepping, calling the planned National Guard deployment unconstitutional and politically motivated. The lawsuit claims the president cannot use the military to occupy American cities simply because local leaders disagree with him. The filing cites states' rights, the Posse Comitatus Act, and the risk of escalating violence.
President Trump says if people were being killed,